Well, here we are, Series 8, Episode 4, and it's a special, Gordon.
It is a special. We're here on the Saturday of the Spirit of Speyside.
Yes.
Kaylee last night.
What a night last night. Great night. And opening gala dinner the night before. But this is the 25th anniversary of the festival, and it's a special podcast today. We're just going to do all from Speyside.
Absolutely. I mean, generally, are currently Speyside. We're at the Dalby Alley station.
Yep.
Dalby Alley Dram number 7 has been going down a storm.
Yes.
I had a bit last night, and I'm feeling okay today.
That's not bad. Now, we always start the podcast with a wee bit of news, and the news is all about, I suppose, the festival, isn't it?
It's
amazing.
It's been brilliant this year.
We'll hear from George later on. George is the chairman, George McNeil, and it's been 20% increase since last year.
Fabulous.
You can feel
news.
That, can't you?
Fabulous news. Yeah, really busy. Nice to see lots of people here. We've been really busy here at Tamdhu. It's been fabulous.
And we've got a busy schedule still ahead of us. We're just doing tours out of Tamdhu, but that's happening all over this area.
Absolutely. This is your time to come and see all the distilleries. Get in amongst it. We did a lovely malt master here on Thursday, which went down really, really well.
I've got a little highlight package from that as well.
Fantastic.
We had Jake from our blending team coming up explaining about core range whiskies are not just single casks. They are a combination of casks from that distillery, and you have to blend them or marry them together to create a core range whiskey.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't actually know the ins and outs of that.
Exactly.
Job.
He gave us those insights. It was brilliant. He also came up with a special whiskey as well.
Yes. Now, it was a three-year-old.
Well, it was a three-year-old, but actually, he'd come up with small samples of whiskies from the 60s and 70s, and he'd 12 different whiskies, I think it was. He'd blended them together, and then he'd used a three-year-old on the top, and so therefore, technically a three-year-old, but with whiskies from the 70s and the 60s. All about taste, nothing to do with age. What a brilliant, brilliant experiment, and what a great whiskey that was for all the guests who came on Thursday.
Now, speaking of whiskies, every distillery will have their own festival. Not everyone, but usually they have a festival release.
Yes.
Could you explain what we've got?
Well, we've got the Dalby Alley, which is that wonderful range of whiskies, all first fill, all young, powerful, about 61.8%, release number 7.
Yes, lovely.
Hugely popular. That's been going down a storm here.
Yep.
And we do a single cask, which Sandy McIntyre is currently walking past holding a bottle of. That's the Dedication Society pick.
It's a treasure.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful single cask, a sherry butt, at 20 years old.
So we are doing two festival releases.
Yes.
Is that usual? Most distilleries
do.
Yeah,
I think you probably do two, yeah. So, no, it's great. And
can we also ask about you moonlighting on another podcast?
Yes.
I was at the dinner last night speaking to people that had been there. Could you explain what you were doing on Thursday night of the Speyside Festival?
Well, I mean, there are two major whiskey podcasts in Scotland. Number one, obviously, being Whiskey Unscripted, tongue firmly in cheek. I was doing a live sort of debate amongst the ambassadors, Battle of the Ambassadors, on Not Another Whiskey Podcast, which is another great whiskey podcast by our friends at Coppercairn, Mitch and co. And it was a great evening of banter, fun, games. Well, no games, but just good banter, great whiskies, and a little bit of just, you know.
You brought a whiskey along, and they had to bring their whiskies along.
Yes, exactly.
So
it
that was the battle of the whiskies as well.
It was brilliant. Really good fun. Strongly recommend you listen to that. Obviously, keep listening to Whiskey Unscripted. We may get some excerpts from that, and we may put a little bit of it into ours. But
yes.
Really, really fun evening, and it's just been great. And we're on our last day here. We've got our last day tours of 6 tours around the distillery today, and then we all go and lie in a dark room.
We do. Gordon, it's I can hear the cockerels crowing in the background, the crowing, but can you hear that? So we are in the, I wouldn't say middle of nowhere, but this area is remote. There's no signpost to Tamdhu. I don't know how many people have got themselves lost getting here.
No, it's fabulous.
Which I love that about this.
Yeah, Tamdhu, you'll never see a brown sign when you're driving through Spirit of Speyside. You know, you need to know where you're going, sort of, or your sat-nav will tell you. But once you get here, there's a beautiful station where we start the tours from. You walk down the Speyside Way down to the distillery, have a tour around the Avocado Mill Room.
Yeah.
And the, because remember, it's not open to the public. So a proper, full working distillery. People love it. They come back and they're like, fabulous.
It is. The only issue, I suppose, with this festival is the transportation between venues.
It's a
geographically big location, Speyside.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's one of the challenges is there's 50-odd distilleries probably 30 doing stuff. It's hard to get around because obviously if you have a whiskey, driving is a problem.
Yes. So, now, we'd love to get around all the places, but we're actually working here, so we can't
nope.
We can't get around and show or listen to all the events out there. But I would recommend anyone to get online and have a look at all the things that are happening. We can give you this angle from Tamdhu, but it's just that there's beach tastings, there's tastings under the bridge, there's barbecues. We did the Malt Master, we're doing these tours as well. It's just a cornucopia of whiskey. If you love whiskey, this is like Disneyland.
It is like Disneyland, and it's a great place to come, whether in the festival or not. But if you want to come and really see distilleries open their doors that don't normally, you're really only going to see that during the festival.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we go and have a listen to George McNeil? It's his last time being chairman of this amazing festival. He's done so well.
He's done such a great job. He's done such a great job. And it's been tough, obviously, with COVID, but they've come out the other side.
He
the
has.
Numbers are going up. It's great to see. So, yeah, let's hear from George.
And we are back in the room. Here we are. It's a wonderful evening. And I'm with a gentleman that was on last year. Sir, what's your name and where'd you come from?
I'm Silla Black. I'm George McNeil, Spirit of Speyside Whisky Festival chairman.
Yes.
And it's an absolute pleasure to have you back again, my friend.
Oh, listen, this is fantastic. Could you explain where we are? We were here Wednesday night. This is fabulous.
We were here Wednesday night, so obviously we're on the 25th anniversary of the Spirit of Speyside Whisky Festival, so we're celebrating a birthday. Running parallel with that, we're also celebrating the 200th year at the Macallan. So we're very blessed that the Macallan has chosen to host this year's event. So Wednesday night we had the opening dinner where the great Negroud of the industry come together, and then tonight we have the Cayley where it's open to the general public. We must have about 20 or 30 different nationalities represented in that room, all having a bloody good time and had some good fun, hosted by some wonderful hosts like yourself, and different tables, different brands, the industry truly coming together. And just, you know, it's what this industry is all about, just having good people together having a good time.
Yeah. And can we have a quick word about the Macallan?
Yes.
Probably one of the most famous whiskies in the world.
Yep.
And they're hosting this event.
Correct. That's what I mean. How blessed are we that the Macallan are hosting us in this event?
How does this work, George? Do you have to ask them or what?
You're right. So we will seek to try and find people to host our events. And it's not easy because it's a big ask for the actual... Normally it's a distillery, once or twice it's not been a distillery. Forgive me for the noise behind me, somebody's just fell over, but hey, they had too many Macallans, but that's not my problem. Hashtag responsible drinking.
Yes.
But it's a pleasure to have the Macallan hosters. They actually reached out to us and we had the conversation 2 years ago, knowing that it was the 200th.
Right.
And we're also blessed that there's four or five other distilleries all having their 200th birthday. So the Macallan thought, we would love to host you guys when it's their 200th and our 25th year.
Yeah.
So that's how it came about. Stuart Cassells and Rachel, the operations director here, they started talking early about, let's get together, have a conversation, what does it mean? And it is a big commitment to the distillery.
Because we're in a big marquee here.
Correct.
This is not here normally.
No, it doesn't just, you know, that there's a lot of work and effort goes in. You know, we walked from the point where we get dropped off at transport, you walk up through the cut, as they call it, into the distillery, you walk through the distillery, you get here. There must be a dozen staff hosting all the way. So that's a commitment financially for the Macallan.
So
we're very blessed at that. Whereas the Spirit of Speyside Whisky Festival, this is where the profit is driven for us. So they host it, they pay for that, and then we get to drive the profit, which means, and we're not a for-profit organisation, but it means the money goes back into the colleagues that we get to recruit here, we get to hire, as well as try to then generate what can we do with that for next year with PR to keep trying to grow what we've got here. So exceptionally blessed.
Well, he's mentioned about profit and ticket sales.
Yeah.
How's it been?
The way we measure ourselves is simply, how did we do last year, how did we do this year?
Yeah.
Ticket sales are up 20%.
Oh.
You know, we have generated £425,000 of ticket sales this year. That's 20% growth in last year. We know there's about 65 event providers, there's about 700 events, and there's about 7,500 bums on seats at events all throughout space. It's a phenomenal day, and I believe that will continue to grow. We've got some work to do.
Right.
When you balance off the, right, so what does it actually mean for the kind of economic structure of where we are, the infrastructure where we are.
How can you measure that? Because as on a microcosmic level.
Yep.
We had a carry out last night.
Yeah, correct. Well,
quite an expensive one.
Well, thankfully, there's people more intelligent than us that measure it. And we've paid a lot of money this year to get them to measure it, right?
Right.
So what we've done in 2014 is we engaged with an economic survey measurement criteria company who measured it was 2.1 million to the local economy, 2.3 to the greater economy. So this year, for the first year in 10 years, we're now measuring it again.
Right.
And it's through a lot of feedback and what people do and what you actually do when you're here. You did get carried out, you did X, Y, and Z, and they measure everything, and they've got all the algorithms that will hopefully generate, I believe, a number significantly greater than 2.1.
I think it must be significant.
I mean, we've almost doubled in size in those 10 years, but let's not forecast where the number will be, but I believe it'll be significant. With inflation and growth, I believe that we will reflect with a smile on my face.
And just remind me, how many events did you say that there...
There's about 700 different events.
Over 6
days. Great, over 6 days.
That's
great, and I'm looking forward to a few myself.
And this must be, this is geographically and by those numbers,
the biggest whiskey festival in the world. Yeah,
we had them all up.
And we're recognised the biggest whiskey. However, listen, I'm sure the other guys do it well.
Yeah, of course.
And
they do.
Some of the whiskey regions, we're all blessed to be in the industry we're in, you know, the whiskey industry we're in. And some of these guys will do something unique, something that's niche to themselves. We happen to have, again, I use the word blessed, we've got 51 distilleries in this area. So when you bring that together, almost, I think, a little bit more than 50% of Scottish distilleries sitting in this area, when you bring all that together, you can't but put together one hell of a shindig.
George, what a job. But you've got another job, so you're doing this over and above.
So this is voluntary.
Okay.
You know, my chairmanship role, the board of directors that support me, it's all voluntary. And it's for the greater good. And it's also what we call corporate social responsibility from our work. So it's our workplace is saying, yes, you can support that for the greater good of the economy, greater good of the industry. I'm not a whiskey industry boy, you know, I didn't come from the whiskey industry. There's an element of where our chairmanship sits shouldn't come from the whiskey industry, so there's not a conflict of interest when you're in that chair role.
Sure.
So it's managed well. The future chair, Sarah, is from the whiskey industry. It happens to be in the Lakes. It's a wee bit south of the border, so we've let that one go. It's not Speyside.
I didn't know that until Wednesday night.
Yes.
It was announced that this is your last year.
Yeah, well, I've got this belief that it's a 3-year cycle, and then there's new blood coming through, and that new blood brings new ideas, which is wonderful. And Sarah, who joined us in the board about 18 months ago, joined us as vice chair about 6 months ago. Sarah will be superb for this business just going forward, and she'll do another 3-year cycle. She'll look for her vice chair, and let's see where she takes it. But I believe, listen, I'm excited what Sarah will bring to the party.
Small print, just say you've got to speak to Whiskey Unscripted, possibly on the Kayleigh.
I think it's important. I'll tell you right now, in live, if she does not do it, I'll be disappointed.
Yes,
right. And I believe that she should be stepped down after the first year if she doesn't spend time with you. With a little glass of whiskey in her hand.
George, do you know what, George? Your personality has just beamed out of these events every year. You're on the microphone, you've got the humour, you've got the
listen, I'm a big believer in life that good people attract good people.
Yeah.
And I believe if you put yourself out there to be good, goodness will come back. Through life, you'll get some bad kind of shells in there. You just walk on for that.
Yes.
People like yourself, you attract people, good people attract good people. And you believe in what you're doing, you try to make a difference. All I want to do is have fun in life. You bring some good people around like yourself.
You've done a fantastic job.
The networking and the relationships is far beyond what we're doing.
This is all about networking.
Correct.
I think it was mentioned in the opening night's speech there. It's about friendship.
The beauty of the Wednesday night is that industry. You know, it's very interesting. I was watching tonight. I was talking to my wife about it tonight, because what we've got there is the public. This is wonderful that the public can join tonight. But the starter comes out, the main meal comes out, and people are sitting down, rightly so, and just doing my thing. The minute the starter comes out on a Wednesday night at that industry night, everybody's up and walking, because it's the one night where Speyside comes together in the environment of the whiskey industry. You know, you get to the point where it's usually the end of the night where networking begins. They've done it right through the whole bloody course, right through the start, right through the main, which it just shows you the power of what we're doing. And to me, there's such a respect for each other within that kind of coming together of that community. They understand what each other is trying to do. They've got respect for each other's intellectual property.
Yes.
They've got respect for that, but we all know the journey we're on. We all put some liquid in a barrel 15, 20, 25 years ago, and then we all try to take it to market and enjoy the wee drama along the way. You know, that, and it's, there's, what you need is bloody good characters like yourself. And I said to you earlier, I take my hat off to the travelling you boys do, boys and girls do it throughout the world in order to take the drams and other industry to the world. It's amazing. You're going to Poland, I think.
Poland next week. I was in Copenhagen last week, and the amount of people that showed me photographs of being in Scotland, or being at Glengarry, or being at Tamdhu, or being at Space Ides.
Love it.
Just amazing.
Love it.
And my final about seeing an image, if we can just get a very personal comment about yourself, George, since it's the end of your tenure as Spirit of Speyside, can I just say I nearly choked in my Saturday night drink when you were pictured on this British television programme called Strictly Come Dancing. I thought, that's George McNeil.
Let me can I tell you about that?
Please do.
So obviously a long story short, we're good friends with Claudia Winkle, and she is fabulous, Claudia.
Yeah.
She gets us tickets. We're very blessed in life to get tickets. Yeah. We get invited into the front row, and listen, there's some stories after that show finished, and Claudia said, let's go behind the scenes, that I won't say on the podcast.
Correct.
But when you turn off, I'll tell you the stories and show you the pictures.
And she's dressed in your clothes.
Because, Claudia believes in what we do. Yeah. We're very blessed that she loves what Johnson's of Elgin does. You know, we're a Scottish-made brand. We have 100% of what we do is made in Scotland. Scotland's second oldest family business, 227 years old.
Wow.
We get introduced to Claudia, we introduced the brand, she fell in love with what we do, our stylist fell in love with what we do. So, yeah, she loves wearing what we do. She's doing Traitors at the moment, it'll be all over Johnson's, and we're very blessed. Very blessed. And again, good people attract good people. She is a good person.
I love the person.
She's
love
a good person.
And I saw you in close-ups.
By the way,
the family
row,
wouldn't believe it.
That was some gold jacket. That was some gold jacket.
George, what a tenure you've had as
thank
chairman
you.
Of
thank
Spirit
you.
Of Space Effers. Let me shake your hands.
Let me tell you,
and thank
meeting
you
people
so
like yourself and building a friendship has been important to me. Thank you.
And let's just finish with that man, Mark. Mark,
yes.
If you're listening.
Mark's a f***.
That's a great, what a way to finish.
What, you've gone up market, Gordon, since the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you doing this type of recordings, it's
you were
still analogue, I think. You moved on to the
that machine.
The digital era, Gordon.
Gordon will not let up about this. I like that machine, but yeah, I'm on a phone right now. However, we're here at the Speyside Festival. Just heard from George McNeil there, Gordon, and we've got Sandy McIntyre, Tamdhu Distillery Manager. Sandy, overview of 2024. What's it been like?
Fantastic festival as always. Fantastic hospitality at McAllen. They're showcasing, obviously, the distillery, their 200th birthday. Same again, Cardew, 200 years old. Benroma, not Benroma, but many 200 years old. So a few distilleries in there having big birthdays. Great event at McAllen. And we've been having our fantastic visitors again here at Tamdhu as well.
Well, that's it. Gordon, we talked about this before, but it's not open to the public. So the people that have come the last 3 days now, what an experience they've had.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we all muck in because we don't have a visitor centre, teams, and because we don't have a visitor centre, so we all just muck in and wash glasses and sell bottles of whiskey and go and run to buy people sandwiches. That's what we do. It's just a team effort, and we managed somehow to pull it off.
It's manic, but it's fun. Maybe sums up in two words.
Yeah.
And what I liked about it, same to the last group there, we've got all the touch points of Tamdhu here. You've got the manager, we've got Ian Weir, who's the brand director, we've got Gordon Dundas, the brand ambassador. People can really interact with the brand. No, it's not any other time of the year.
Again, this year we had one of our blending team up as well, Jake. It's great to have his knowledge and his experience as well, and you know what it gives the consumer, the public, the opportunity to do, ask any question they want, right across the whole shebang.
Absolutely.
And they do, but it's great. It's giving them the education, it's giving them the knowledge, it's giving them the people to ask those questions to.
Yeah, and I think what's really, you know, we're a brand which is still relatively unknown, but we know when people drink Tamdhu, they love it. They, even if they've not known it before, they're a regular customer. So I think it's important for to get people around the distillery, even if it is only for 2 days a year. We're just seeing a tour leaving now, and there's probably half the people have drunk Tamdhu. Nobody's obviously been before. I would hope they all come back and sample the full range, and they'll be advocates for the brand.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I find very satisfying, is to see people that come back again.
We make this friendship. They have the fun and enjoyment that we have when we're doing the tours and events, particularly with yourself, Gordon, as you know. But they come back because they not only enjoy the company and the experience we give them, but more so they enjoy the whiskey that they're getting to sample.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned questions earlier on. I've got a few questions. Highlights of the questions asked of me. Oh. Number one, how many casks on site at Tamdu?
We're just over 133,000 at the moment. It's continuing to increase. Usually, maybe by the time we take some casks out every month, last month was 2,400 that we removed, and we filled 2,600. So it's only increased 200 since last month. Mm-hmm.
And
pedantic about it.
Other question is output. People like to know that. They're asking me what the output was.
This year, we're expected to do 3.8 million litres.
0.8 million
litres. Which is the same as last year. We're just doing it in a slightly different way in terms of the production weeks, but it's working out the same volume.
Well, remember, up to 15% of that only goes into Tamdi Sherry Casks or Tamdi Single Malt.
That's a good point.
We use it in that remaining 85% we use in many different parts of the whisky industry to swap and trade for whiskies that we need.
And that's something that a lot of people don't really realise goes on. They just think you make whisky for single malt and that's it.
No, that's not just it. There's so much more that goes on at Tamdu than just Tamdu Single Malt. We do the maturation here now for Smokehead. We do the finishing for Smokehead. Most of our stock from Glengoyne now comes up to Tamdu as well for maturation. So it isn't just Tamdu Single Malt, but that's what makes it also enjoyable, because you're actually seeing some of these other products passing through the warehouses and through Discordian, etc. at Tamdu as well.
And just on Tamdu, what's the year been like? I think I was up here last year at this time, and now, you know, potted highlights.
As busy as ever, let's say. We're just in the final process of finishing our new office.
Oh, yes.
Which is going to make a significant change to the team on site in terms of giving us some extra space, more modern facility. But I think the other big things are we've installed an energy-saving system called TDR. So it's also looking at the improvements in the site as well, reducing our carbon footprint, reducing our operating costs in terms of energy as well.
Yes, so that's a big part of the industry, isn't it?
Yeah, and those things are things that we've got to flex about in terms of production during the year. So that's why I'm saying last year, slightly different in terms of the number of mashes in comparison to this year per week, but that's ultimately we're getting the same total at the end of the year.
And I thought when you were taking us round a couple of days ago, just mentioned some of the what's happening in the industry with the lack of warehousing, and the casks are getting more difficult to source, and what's it like in Speyside? What's the sort of trends? That's the word I was looking for, the trends.
I mean, it's fantastic. There's still phenomenal growth in the Scotch whisky industry. Expansion still going on at a number of the distilleries, particularly Chivas. I'm thinking Aberlour, one of our near neighbours here. I think it's probably later on this year that the new distillery area opens. I think it's doubling their capacity, again, Chivas at Malton Duff. But at the same time, this investment at the other end in terms of wood is becoming a bit scarcer, and in particular, the investment that's getting made in warehouse capacity. It's the growth is still there, Gordon.
Still, that's good to know. There's a lot of competition out there in the world, Sandy.
Definitely. I mean, again, it's lovely. I mean, a wee short time ago there, we had one of the guests was in, I think it was Czechoslovakian whiskey. So we tend to forget, because we are so immersed in what's the best whiskey, Scotch whiskey, but there are whiskies getting produced all around the world now. And we've just got to keep on extolling the virtues. A gentleman just passing here, John Grant from Glenfarclas. Oh. Hello there, John, how are you?
That's fine.
Are you having a busy day?
Sorry?
Are you having a busy day?
Well, I was always busy at the Speyside Festival. That was a unexpected visitor there.
Yes, I have. One of our competitors from Glenfarclas, the owner of Glenfarclas, John Grant, obviously do fantastic whiskies as well. I'm very, very friendly with Callum, one of the winners at the award ceremony on Wednesday night, the opening dinner.
Yeah,
we have a joint business with them as well, actually. So we do a bottling plant with them. So that's a bit like the industry, isn't it? It's just everybody gets involved and does things. Yes, they're competitors technically,
Yeah, it was
all friends.
Exactly. Well, that's what it was like last night. We were at the Cayley hosting a table, and most partners at the Speyside Festival hosted a table, we did, and I had some lovely Glenfarclas as well there.
Who else was at your table? Do you have people from Fockabers?
We did have people from Fockabers there, and we had people from Australia as well.
Not from Sydney?
Yes, we did actually, yes.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, Sandy, we started the Speyside Festival, making me giggle, and with a wonderful tour on Wednesday, and I did have some edited highlights.
Oh my word.
And we're going to finish with Jake from the blending team as well.
Yeah, great.
So, would you mind introducing it?
Here I am, Sandy McIntyre, again still here at the Speyside Whiskey Festival 2024.
A bit early. Our production week started last Tuesday. And the end of our production week would normally be tomorrow. But we've been putting in some equipment at Tamdu since the last time some of you were here to save energy. We'll talk a wee bit about that in the distillery. But the other bit about it is it's meant our production week has sped up. We're more efficient in terms of the operation of our stills. So the end of our week is today, probably about 12 o'clock. I'm waiting on a phone call because what we might do, if we time it right, we might actually get in and get some of you actually doing some measurements, get your hands wet and dirty, and see the feints that we have in the tanks at the end of the week to see what we've got left, because we've got to assess our production figures for the whole week. Again, it's reportable to Revenue Customs if they want it. So we've got, I'm watching the speed bump just to
slow down.
we've got to accurately record our production for the week. So one of that is actually measuring what alcohol there is left in the system every Friday or every Thursday. So we're looking to probably do that in the next wee while.
Is that the staff? What alcohol's in the staff?
Yeah, you think that's just water?
Shows you some pictures of vats. Attila's Hungarian. Hungarian. And he shows you some pictures of the vats that they've got out in Hungary and some of the stuff that he's made over the years. It's absolutely phenomenal. Brilliant.
Cherry bomb, you know. It's not. And that's what we've tried to do with Distinction, is to try and bring that in to show you that it's not always that hard hit. Because I think Distinction, what it does, it allows the distillery character, that fruitiness that we get off the stills, it allows that to still actually be more present in the final product of the actual bottle that you're buying. Whereas this is a bit more the sherry hit that you're getting from it, the dates, the Christmas dates or tannins type thing. But let's say sherry's is much more than just that big hitters. Sherry in itself, I mean, our casks are seasoned, all Oloroso seasoned. The process is a 6-year process before we get a cask on site. It takes a couple of years in the north of Spain to be dried out, another couple of years in the more dry climate down in Jerez to be dried out, then a couple of years worth of seasoning in the bodega. So it's not something that just happens like this. Hmm. So there's a lot of time and effort going into actually getting the cask here in the first place. And you know, these things are precious to us. First fills, refills, yes, brilliant. But I think what Tamdu is doing with that sherry piece, particularly Oloroso, is the right thing for us to be doing with our liquid.
How many times will you use that?
It might sometimes even get a third use. We see casts, I can't say anything right now, but they've got a dab of red paint in the end, we call them red enders. So particularly if they're emptying it from the refill, if they still see there is life in that cast, there's still good colour coming from it, there's still good influence from the wood, we'll wallop a bit of red paint and then down at the bottling hall, and it'll come back in to be used for a third time.
Right. So what are the red flags when the cask got to the end of its working life? What's the...
Well, let's be honest about it. There's some things that we just want a wooden vessel that holds liquid.
Yeah. Watertight.
And, you know, as long as it doesn't leak. So long as it still ticks
the regulation for being used, which it obviously has for the first and second use, its purposes for being used in the industry, an oak, wooden oak cask, matured in Scotland earlier, it's for 3 years, and we'll still use it again.
Okay.
If we can still get use out of it, we'll try our best. So and particularly now, where they're becoming, you know, shorter and shorter supply and higher prices.
This was selected in August at an event we had here for the Dedication Society. And I think it was it wasn't a clear winner. It was pretty close up till the end. But I think that big sherry European oak style came through. We do have some should you want to buy any, of course. A really, for me, 20 years old in a sherry bottle, fabulous. And it's not gone too far. I find sometimes you start to get that dryness, that tannin, that wood, and it's just too much. You've gone too far, you've gone over the top. This has still got tamarind in it, it's got beautiful prune, I've got prunes and that type of flavour.
Yeah, these are like anyone who loved cask one on this, I mean, it's an old version of that. Cask one was already fairly old actually, but this, bring it up to 20 years, you've just given it the extra time with wood. I would say we probably pulled it at a good time. I think if you left this in too much long, you probably would overcook it, to be honest. At which point we then have to kind of re-blend it into something and make it greater than some of its parts. But as a single cask, it's unbelievable. It's big, it's thick, it's rich, it's intense.
Now, it's the end of the tasting. Gordon and Daz is across there. Things like a glass in hand. I've managed to get Jake. Jake, from the blending team.
Mm.
What an event there. What happened, Jake? What were you doing? What were you brought up for? And just explain, put pictures into words.
Well, what did we do? So we tried 4 single cask whiskies. We went through them all, we tasted them all, and everyone got to blend their own little whiskey at the end. So it was.
Now, sometimes people, when I'm out in market, blend, they think.
You know, grain and that, But a lot of people don't know that almost all whiskey is somewhat blended in a way. It's not a blend per se, but it's a mixture of different casks that are put together to balance out flavours, you know, balance it all out to make sure we're always making good product.
And this is because every single cask is different.
So we look at every cask on a cask by cask basis. Making sure everything is to the standard, and then we mix it in different ratios to make sure we're always getting something that's even better at the other end.
So you get something. So today they had 4. What 4?
So what they are? They did European oak hogshead, American oak hogshead, American oak butt, and a refill butt, all about 15 years old. So pretty good little range to pick from, to be honest with you.
And their job is to try and make a.
Yeah.
To their own recipe.
To their own style. So, you know, I explained how we would go about things, my personal style of blending, which, you know, I would take a base and then I would add on top of it. But everyone blends differently. You know, some people want the big, heavy character. That's all they want. So they lean more into that. And others, you know, they more like the kind of style I'd make, where you start with a lighter base and you top note right in the top.
I can feel there's a podcast coming on at your blending room with yourself and John Glass. We would love to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But after they made their blends, there was other whiskies. And there was a new releases for the festival.
So the new release for the festival, I had Derby Alley 7, mixture of 4 casks, absolutely unbelievable. It's a real kind of highlight of youthful tamarind with a mix of that slightly older, heavy character. Again, like we're talking about the blending, the balance of the youth and the old. We then tried.
And what strength was that coming in at? What did you...
Oh, was it 61.2 something
is
like that?
Is that a decision you make? Or
for Derby Alley, so we choose to. I actually believe it's a little higher, so we reduce it ever so slightly, but still enough to keep it big and punchy. But it doesn't taste it. It very much stays smooth gore. You know? Smooth gore. But then we also tried the single cask that people picked at the Dedication Society, so I was up for that in August. Had a bunch of people, similar sort of situation, but they picked the single cask. And this is the official launch of that as well. So actually, I can see people now picking up quite a few of them. So
quite a few purchases going on.
Yeah, it's a bloody brilliant for sales today.
Yeah, I should see we're in the old cooperage here at Tamdu. Mm. And finally, there's a special jam you put together.
Just for the festival, I had an idea that I pitched to Em and John of. You know, we had a bunch of really old whiskey samples kicking around. Casks don't exist anymore. So I always had the idea of doing like a decades bottling, you know, where we combine whiskey from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s through to what we're making now and combine it all in such a way to emphasize the age but not overpower things, add in the sherry from the 90s and 2000s, which is really heavy, but then balance it with the youthful spirit we're making now.
Yeah.
So blended that all together, Happy Days at the end, made Little Decades, and it's a one-on-one. It was something that will only be tasted here. All the samples are dead, casks don't
exist.
And
what age was it? Because that's interesting.
So there was whiskey from 1967 in there, but I, being the cheeky so-and-so I am, decided to add some three-year-old in that. So technically, it was a three-year-old Tamdu. But as a one-on-one, we figured who better to try it than everyone who's willing to pay this money and come out and see all the Tamdu.
And you were saying earlier on today, when we're on tour, you quite like your job. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You've got old cast samples, you're playing around with them. That
so,
sounds amazing.
Like I was saying, it's the reason I do this is because I have the best job. It's absolutely fantastic. I want to go to work every day. It's brilliant. It's the perfect mix of being passion and then creativity as well. You know, a perfect combination of it all. So,
and what have you made of today? Because this is sometimes you're locked away in a room.
Today,
don't come out until you get the point. But today,
today's been fantastic.
Facing.
Yeah, exactly. I was a tour guide back before. I used to work at Whiskey Experience, so I'm used to being in front of people and showing faces and whatnot. So it's good to kind of get in front of people again. Dram in hand is much easier, you know.
Yes.
I imagine, you know, not sure it's something I want to do every day of the week, but
I think Sandy would say the same as well. It's not open to the public, but you know, they pull out all the stops.
The people who are really passionate about it, that's fantastic.
I know. You know, Jake, fantastic. We can talk all day, but I know they want to say goodbye to you.
Yeah. I see Gordon's calling now as well.
I know, exactly. So, Jake, on you go.
Thank you. Take care. A bit.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
What have you seen at the festival?
Oh, a lot of distilleries. We went to the Drams Under the Stars, and it was really nice.
Drams Under the Stars.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
We really had stars.
No clouds?
No.
Wow. Amazing. Listen, thank you very much.
Enjoy
the rest of the festival. What's your name, sir?
Max.
Max and?
Iggy.
We just want to get a wee flavour of the festival. We've been stuck here at Tamdu. You guys have been out doing quite a lot of stuff. Give us a wee rundown of what the highlights were and what you've done.
Well, my first highlight had to be when we were at Mortlach and the Spirit Still actually had a break-in. So while we were doing the tour, they were huddling around the still looking at the damage because they're usually not open to public. And that was a fun sight.
Yes.
We visited a lot of distilleries that are usually not open. We loved the tour at Tregaleghi where the people were just really enthusiastic about everything. We just did Tormore, who opened for the first time in I don't know how many years.
Now, I drove past that, Gordon, and I could see the chimney smoking and there was people working there. We've talked about Tormore on this podcast before. Sakinda Singh. He's opened Port Natruing and he's...
Absolutely, yeah. And they're in the process of building up this distillery, releasing a single malt, really good people working there. They'll do really well.
What was the tour like?
Well, it was a masterclass at the beginning. We had four amazing drums, 94 bourbon single cask refilled, and we had a 99 first fill bourbon single cask and two sherry single casks from 2014 or something. One American, one European, and just to get the mixture a little bit from different bodegas as well. And then they got an eight-year-old festival bottling, which was pretty nice as well. And you can see that because Diageo really let the place go. That's what they told. Like the garden was just abandoned and everything, and they've put a lot of love into it now. And it's really looking up.
Is it really looking nice inside? Yeah. Obviously inside and looking good.
Yes, they also got a small model of the distillery from some Edinburgh show, which is going to be a central part of the visitor centre at some point, I guess.
Yeah. And anybody else highlights for you?
I'm
from
just
the
looking forward to the upcoming parts. It's not over yet.
Yeah, of course it's not.
Torrevieja, the sky. I'm looking forward to the sky bit.
Okay.
Are you going to Torrevieja?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's going to be very nice.
You're over here from Munich?
Munich.
Right. Yeah. And a couple others.
Well, Tamdu, we
thank
just
you.
Did.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was good apart from the tour guide, yeah?
Gotta save the best
collecting
for last.
Collecting the points.
Yeah, gotta save the best for last.
Get an extra whiskey for this. Don't tell the listeners.
No, amazing whiskey as always. Just the pure sherry cask perfection, in my opinion. Well, not as much as the Glengoyne, but almost.
That's a good discussion. It's a great discussion to have. You know, it's two great distilleries and it's not great. So the festival has been worth it. You're here in Scotland for a bit of time, but for those that have never been, you know, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. And we've been to Fejile before as well, and Fejile is always like big parties and people people are like want to be seen there. Here I more get the feeling of everybody's really in for the whiskey, really in for the fun. Even more so than at Fajila, I would say.
Right.
But it is a lot smaller and a lot quieter.
Yeah. This is there's quite a lot of space between various venues. Transport's always an issue. Getting round.
It unfortunately
it is. Yeah. You got to stock up on taxi companies.
Yeah.
And what are you doing tonight? What's happening
buses.
Tonight? Yeah, buses. What's happening tonight? Are you off anywhere?
No, we're just going to go.
Just cooking.
Take it easy.
Right, take some whiskies back to
the
house.
Enjoy the river, maybe.
I know it.
Spike?
Oh, yeah. We've got a real... That's also about the festival. We've got an amazing cottage in Craganmore just by the river. And it's just sitting outside the porch. It's worth a vacation in itself.
Yeah, with a dram. Yeah. It sounds idyllic. And what a night today. Yeah. This is tonight. You'll get good weather in Speyside during the festival.
Fair figure.
Yeah. I know. What's going on? What's going on?
We've only seen sun.
You've been drinking too much. No, it has been good weather. It has been. Listen, thanks very much, guys, for giving us a wee flavour of the festival. Cheers. Thank you. And there we go, Gordon. The curtain falls and the show is over.
Ah, yes, absolutely. Another cracking Spirit of Speyside, wasn't it?
Well, we're not at Speyside now. This is the ends of... Well, for the few weeks to a few days to recover.
Yeah, that's true. We are actually sitting in our next big busy thing that's happening. We're sitting in Rosebank at the moment as we finish off episode 4. Is this?
Yes.
They're so regular.
This is episode 4. We get chastised.
We did.
We did get chastised.
Keep going with the episodes. I got 2 or 3 people going, we're missing out on episodes. Like, we've got to do the day job, but we're trying to, so we will. Episode 5 will not take so long.
Now, are we teasing? I don't think it'll be episode 5 or episode... Are we teasing this could be a special podcast?
Yes, I think during the couple of days of the openings, we're going to do a lot of interviews of people here. So we're going to have a Rosebank special. I feel it deserves it. I think it's going to be the biggest story in whiskey this year in terms of this iconic distillery coming back. It's just wandering around it today. The only thing that's missing is people.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fabulous. I'm loving it.
Ready to go. It's ready to go. Anyway, let's go back to Speyside Festival,
yep.
Gordon.
Yep.
Summarise it. You actually moved on to another podcast.
I did. Well, I have. I was on I was on our friends at Not Another Whiskey Podcast, and another a whiskey podcast that I would check out for sure, done by our friends Mitch and Nicholas. Yeah, there was an event at Craigellachie Lodge on the Thursday night at Spirit of Speyside. It was a sort of battle to the death of ambassadors, very tongue-in-cheek, very funny. An hour and a half of laughter, ribbing, and definitely amusing, so I'd listen to that. But obviously...
And what was the chat that they were giving about the Speyside Festival this year? You heard George, 700 odd events, up 20% in ticket sales.
Yeah.
Still work to do, but it seemed to be a classic with the weather.
It was brilliant. It was fabulous. I think everybody who was at that event, we did that Thursday night, was loving the festival. People loved what we did at Tamdhu. People loved getting round distilleries. It was brilliant to see. I think the old magic is back, which is fabulous. So if you want to check out a laugh between four of ambassadors, there was myself, Charlotte from Glenglassa, there was Struan from Glenfiddich, and Mark Thompson from Duncan Taylor. 4 great drams. Tamdhu did quite well, which is good.
I think he came top.
But the chat was brilliant. So have a listen to that on Not Another Whiskey Podcast.
So that was one of the highlights for you, I think.
That was great. It was really good fun. Yeah, really good Tamdhu. Fun. Really good fun.
But and finally, just to talk about, if nobody really knows, would you be surprised that it's only 25 years? You know, you sometimes think, well, Speyside and the whiskies have been there for, Macallan, 200 years. Yeah. But it's funny, a festival, 25 is a long time, but it's amazing, just that history in whiskey, that festivals weren't a thing till late 90s.
Yeah, I think it's great, and I really do. It's great to see 25 years of the Spirit of Speyside. I mean, there's a few things that I think should be looked at personally, but, you know, I think the transport around the distilleries is difficult because obviously there's alcohol involved. I think there should be more of a formal way of transporting people around if there was a, you know, minibuses or whatever. There's a lot of events as well. A lot of people said there's a lot of events.
700.
And you know, that's quite a lot for 4 to 5 days.
Yep.
And so not all of them, I don't think, sold out. I just think there should be a little bit more focus on distilleries and things that, you know, personally. There's some great events, but
it's just there's maybe too many, and too, you know, the way of getting from one to another is difficult.
It is difficult.
So yeah, just a few things to maybe think about. But a brilliant festival.
And a quick word, George McNeil, what an interview we got there.
Oh, know, brilliant. Like,
given his time during the Kayleigh to come and chat to
me. No, he's fabulous.
Just really, that's his, you know, 3 years, he said, and that's fresh blood.
It's probably not been the easiest 3 years in terms of COVID and things like that, but I think he's done a great job. The festival is back to what it deserves to be, and it fabulous, really, really good.
And our gala dinner and our Kayleigh, hosted by McCallan. I wonder who will take on the mantle next year, because that's a difficult one to.
Yeah, absolutely. They did really, really well. I thought they were really welcoming. They were really, really wanted to see people enjoying themselves in their distillery. It was really good to see. And I wish them all the best in their 200th year.
And we roll on to the next festival. You are attempting to catch a ferry, although rumours have you're building your own boat because you just don't trust ferries across the Islay. The Fishiel is round the corner.
Fishiel is, what, a couple of weeks away. I will be at Fishiel this year, Monday, which is Monday the, I don't know what Monday it is, Monday the 28th, I think, something like that, 27th of May. I will be opposite the airport in Lagan Bay, where the brewery will be up and running. The distillery's not quite there, but I will be there talking about the distillery, talking about all the stuff we're doing with the Isla Boys over there. So that's very exciting. So
it is very exciting.
If you are going to Fish and you're on that very straight road between Bamore and Port Ellen,
I'm
going to be on site.
Wow.
So we will be there talking about Lagan Bay. I will have another gilet. I love a gilet.
Love a gilet.
Love a gilet.
And I have to say, I love the Donald Mackay's beer as well. Lovely.
Oh, no.
Isla Ale. So these guys have.
Oh, Donald's really beer. Donald's beer is great. So I'll be there to drink some of the beer.
Good.
Although, again, getting around the island's a little difficult.
Yeah.
Quite a long walk. But we're literally right opposite the airport. That's where the distillery is going to be. And that's really exciting. So that's going to be there for a couple of days.
Are you staying for a few more days on the ferry?
Stay for one day, okay. And then come back on the Wednesday.
And everybody has their, I know you've not maybe gotten to hand, everybody has their own day on the island.
Yeah, although now there's probably two distilleries on one day, because there's more distilleries and there's more things going on. But the Fish is it's another take on a whiskey festival. It's a great whiskey festival. I've always enjoyed it when I worked for Bamore. It was good fun. So, yeah.
Okay. We've teased that one. Yeah. We've teased Rosebank. Yeah. But that was the Speyside Festival 2024, Gordon. What a few days. Well done to Sandy and all the team there.
Caitlin. Shout out to Caitlin. She did so well. Shout out to all the team, who just love having people there. It's great. And, you know, Eugene gives his unique take on things.
He certainly did.
It's Eugene's world. We're all just living it.
Yeah. All the people loved it.
And it was brilliant to see. So, no, great to be there. Looking forward to Fish. And then the week after Fish, we have Rosebank.
And we will do a special from inside Rosebank.
We will do.
Can't wait for that.
We'll get some great interviews.
Okay, folks. Thank you for this episode. There will be some coming down the track very soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Care and independence in good company, doing it this way since 1833. Staying ahead on the whiskey trail. Oh, staying ahead on the whiskey trail.